Okay, let's get into Shmuel Beis, Perek Tezvav. This is the first of four prakim that discuss the revolution, the mered of Avshalom, the next stage in the story, the onesh of David HaMelech's act with Batsheva. Obviously, as we've said, this was a they had Bechira Chavshis, they weren't forced to do it, but it's also a sad story of events that occur when David's own son rebels. That's the stage for rebelling against him over the next four prakim. This parak is the beginning of that rebellion. So what happens, Avshalom, if you remember, was brought back to Yerushalayim, and begrudgingly, after 2 years of being there and not seeing his father, David comes and takes him and gives him a kiss, finally. But Avshalom does not have any strong feelings towards his father, at least positive strong feelings. So what happens, the Navi describes that he starts gathering people and horses and starts to convince people that he is a very righteous man. He says, he sits at the gates of Yerushalayim, and before, instead of people going to David to judge their cases, he says, come to me, I'll help you out, I'll be your man, and he gave them a lot of covet. He started, as the Navi says, to steal the hearts of Am Yisrael. That's the language that is used. After 40 years, 40 years of what? We assume 40 years from the origins of Malchus, Avshalom says to David HaMelech, you know, I'm going to go back to Hebron. I have some Nedarim to take care of. I have some promises. So I'm going to leave Yerushalayim now. David says, okay, Lech, go. And Avshalom goes there, and this is the beginning of the end. He gathers the troops, and he says that he sends for Achitophel, who is an advisor to David, but he defects to Avshalom, and he starts announcing that he is the king. He is the king. Everybody should follow him. All of a sudden, David HaMelech hears about it, and David's reaction is, let me run away with my people. If Hashem wants him to be the king, he'll be the king. He does not put up a fight directly. He and his avadim leave. They're like, you sure? Yes, he's sure. He leaves with all of his men, except he left his pilagshim, his concubines in the palace, which is setting the stage for what will happen in the future. They all run, and on the way, the Melech is with Ittai Hagiti, right, one of the neighbors that he was with. We'll talk about whether it was a Jew or not. He says, what are you doing here? He says, I want to go with you. He says, no, you have to stay here. It's going to be too hard for you. He's like, no, I want to come. He's like, no, stay here, and you can even be an informant for me to let me know what's going on with Avshalom. He says, okay. So then he goes, and David keeps walking away from Yerushalayim, and he's crying, and he has his clothing torn. A couple of Kohanim are with him, with the Aron also, Tzadok and Avyatar. David says, what are you doing? Bring the Aron back to Yerushalayim. They say, no, but what about you? He says, bring it back, and you'll be on my side even there. So David is laying the groundwork for at least being informed of what's going on, even though he's not fighting directly. And the Pasuk describes that he goes to Maale HaZizim, and he goes barefoot, and he's crying. David is told that Avshalom has switched over to that Achitophel has switched over to Avshalom, and David says to Hashem, please help that his advice is confounded. Please don't let his advice be successful. And David continues at the end of the parak, meeting another friend, Hushai Ha'arki, who is a ne'eman of David. And David says, please, you also could go. You could be a double agent for me. You could find out exactly what's going on and be in touch. So that is how the parak ends. David is now out of his ear David, and Avshalom is on his way back from Hebron to Yerushalayim. So that is the parak, the first of a couple of prakim related to this rebellion. So, Vayimei Achrei Chen, the parak starts off. After this, Avshalom starts getting his merkava, his chariots and horses, ready. There's a major discussion. Most Mefarshim assume that from the outset, Avshalom wanted to be the king. And he wanted to be the king. He maybe even wanted to kill his father. He maybe wanted to totally blast him and have him out of the picture. And that's what it sounds like as we continue. That's what it sounds like from the text. The Abarbanel, though, does not think so. The Abarbanel says that's not what his original kavana was. Maybe it turned into his kavana after he came to the point of no return. And we'll see what happens with the coming prakim. But that was not his original kavana. His original kavana, says the Abarbanel, was he knew, everybody knew, that Shlomo was going to be the king. There was a nevuah, but Shlomo was only 9 years old at the time, right now. And Avshalom realizes his father is getting old, and who's going to be the leader? And I'm older, Avshalom says to himself. So I want to be the king. David is old. There are many examples, the Abarbanel says, of leaders who get too old and are basically retired and are not involved in the day-to-day activities of the kingdom. So David can still be there, and I'll be the king during his life. And then once he dies, Avshalom thinks to himself, if I have already 1 foot in, then I'm going to be the king, and not Shlomo. That was his intent, not to kill his father, but just to be able to rule with his father. That is what the Abarbanel says. So again, Chalila lahem mizek, ki mishlach yadav Mashiach Hashem, he finds it hard to believe that Avshalom would want to kill the one who was appointed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Very hard to believe that. He knew his father didn't like him because of what he did to Amnon. But he said, this is the way it has to be. I'm the next oldest, and I want to be the king. My father is old. He can't lead the people. So for those reasons, that's at least how it started off. Ubesefer Malachim, Atzinu Malachim Arbe. We find many examples, says the Abarbanel. Himlichu b'neim b'chayeim, that they were mamlech, their children, even in their lifetime. But it wasn't actually to kill David. Achitofel, though, Abarbanel says, had negative intentions. Maybe he himself thought he should be the king, and therefore he was going to go to Avshalom, who was going to get rid of David, and then he would get rid of Avshalom himself, and then he would be the king. So we'll talk about Achitofel when we get there. But again, this is the Abarbanel suggestion, that it wasn't originally such a plan, such a destructive plan, but he did want to rebel against the king. Back to the text. Vayaslo Avshalom Merkava Vesusim. He gets chariots, a lot of horses. The Ralbag says that's very unusual for a non-king to try to have so many horses. So it was already strange what he was doing, but that's what he was doing, gathering horses. Vachamishim Ishratzim Lefanav, 50 special runners. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, Rashi quotes it here, that these were special. They had their spleens taken out so they could run even faster. Ve'ishkim Avshalom V'yaman al diad derech shar. Every morning Avshalom got up by the gates of the city. Every person that had a din in Choshe Mishpat, had a sichsuch, had a fight between two people, Avshalom used to ask them, Amy Zairata, where you from? Which shevet you from? Being very nice to them and friendly. And Avshalom said to them, Re'ei dvarecha tovim menuchochim. Wow, I see you have a good claim. But my father's not going to have time for you. My father's not going to give you the proper respect that you deserve. You know what? Let me be your shofet. Yisimeni shofet ba'aretz. Just come to me. I'll be in charge. What's the last word? V'hitztaktiv. And I'll make them righteous. Which on the surface, what does that mean? V'hitztaktiv, you can't have two people righteous if there's a case. One's chayev and one's pater. You can't have both of them win. V'hitztaktiv, but you can say that just Avshalom said that to every one of them, just to get them on his side, right? Or it just means that I'm going to give you a righteous judgment. I'm going to give you the right answer. So that's a question of what v'hitztaktiv means. V'haya b'kravish l'stachavos lo, and whenever somebody came and wanted to give Avshalom respect, he said, no, let me give you respect. V'hechzik lo v'nashak lo, he gave him a kiss. Vayas Avshalom kadavar hazeh l'chol Yisrael. Avshalom does this to all the Jews, and the pasuk adds, Vayiganev Avshalom eslev anshei Yisrael. Avshalom stole the hearts of the people of Am Yisrael. The Mishnah in Maseches Sota says that this wasn't the only one that he stole. The Mishnah in Sota on Tesma Bay says he stole the hearts of three. Ulefi sheganav gimel levavos lev aviv v'lev bezdin v'lev Yisrael. He stole the heart of his father, the Bezdin, and Am Yisrael, and that's why he was punished to have three spears put in him, as we will see in a couple of prakim. But that's the Mishnah in Sota, the Tesma Beis, that this wasn't the only one he stole. Vayimi Kesar Barim Shana. So it was at the end of 40 years. 40 years of what? 40 years of how old he was, 40 years of David's reign. David reigns for 40 years, but David was still ruler. So it can't be that it was the end of his reign. So Chazal understands that this 40 years from the time that Am Yisrael asked for a king. That's what Rashi says, right? Shaul was king, you remember, for 2 years, and then David was king. There was a gap of time at the time when he was for 7 years. The 2 years of Ishbosheth overlapped. But let's assume it was 2 years of Shaul, and then let's say 38 years of David. This is towards the end of his rule. So that's 40 years. 40 years, Rashi quotes, Sheshaulu Yisrael Melech Mishmuel. Went 40 years since Am Yisrael asked the king from Shmuel. Why is it important to note 40 years? Tosfos in Nazir on Daf Hei says, because that was also a rebellion. Just like Avshalom is rebelling against David, that was also rebelling against Hashem, against Shmuel, the original asking for a king, as we discussed at length, that was was not. Hashem was very upset. Shmuel was very upset. Tosfos says, Nazir Hayman Aleph, Shemardu b'malko shel olam, Tala meridas avshalom b'she'elasam le'melach shayishnas eser l'shmuel. There was both rebellions. So that's why this one is connected to the original one when they asked for a king. So it was the end of the 40 years. Vayomar avshalom alamelech. Avshalom says, Elchana va'ashalem es nidri. Let me go and fulfill my neder, asher nadarti l'Hashem b'chevron, that I made in Chevron. The Chazal in Nazir also, Dalet Amud Beis, learns from this pasuk that he was a Nazir. Discussed this already. Whether Avshalom, there's a machlokas whether Shmuel was a Nazir. That's the last Mishnah in Nazir. But there's also a discussion about Avshalom. Dalet Amud Beis, the Gemara says, Avshalom Nazir Olam Haya. He was a Nazir Olam. What neder was he fulfilling here? It must be the neder of Nazirus. That's what Chazal say. He was going to fulfill his neder of Nazirus, and he cut his hair once a month. That is what we discussed in the last parak. Ki neder nadar avdecha b'shifti b'geshur. When I came back from Geshur to Yerushalayim, I made a neder, so please let me go and fulfill my neder back to Chevron. And the king says, okay, you could go. Why did Avshalom Dafka want to go to Chevron? So the Radak says, maybe because he knew that's where David HaMelech's Malchus started. So it was kind of like, he's going to up one on my father. My father started there, I'm also going to start there. So he went back to Chevron to start his Malchus. David says to him, Leich Bishalom. Vayakam Vayelech Chevron. He goes to Chevron. Chazal pick up on this on the last daf in Brachas, that there's a difference between Leich Lishalom and Leich Bishalom. We should wish people who are alive, Lishalom, go to peace. Because that, the Bali Musarot Emet say, that means that you still have a lot to do. You're not a complete work yet. Go to. You still go achieve your goals. Go keep growing. Bishalom means it's finished. Go in peace. That's what the Gemara says. We tell somebody who has already died. Out of Levaya, we say Leich Bishalom. Go in peace. Meaning you've already achieved everything. That's one shot. The difference between Bishalom and Lishalom. And here, Bishalom, David's saying Bishalom, and it ended in tragedy. It ended that he was killed. But that's related to the Bishalom. Another idea, the Musar HaNeviim says, was there is Bishalom and Lishalom? Life is about fighting the Yetzer Tov and the Yetzer Hara. So Lishalom, go to peace. Meaning you're not there, you keep having the fights. You're not there yet. Bishalom means I'm already there, I'm already at Tzaddik. If you wish somebody at Tzaddik, he's already done it, that's very dangerous. So Lishalom is the what we should rather say to people when they go, and that's not what David said, and it ended up, you know, having tragedy. Vayishlach Avshalom Meraglim b'chol shifte Yisrael Lemar. And Avshalom sent Meraglim amongst all the tribes. And he said, Kishamachem es kol hasho, when you hear the shofar, Va'amartem Malach Avshalom b'chevron. Pasuk Yud, you shall recognize that I am now the king in Chevron. V'yas Avshalom alchum atayim ish miYerushalayim. 200 men came from Yerushalayim with Avshalom. Kruim b'olchim l'tumam. What does that mean? Naively, they didn't know why they were going. Some of these were even the men of David. But they didn't realize. Avshalom said, please come with me. I need your help. Rashi quotes the Yerushalmi, who says that David, he got a letter from David that says, you know, two people should go with my son. That's all it said. So Avshalom took this around to many, many different people to try to get them. And then ended up, he went to 100 pairs of people. He ended up having 200 people to go with him. Because he kept showing them this letter from David, his father, to be able to convince them to come. That's what Rashi quotes from the Yerushalmi. So he goes with 200 people. V'lo yadu kol David. They didn't know what they were getting themselves into. Vayishach Avshalom es Achitofel Agiloni. And then he sends to Achitofel Yoetz David. David's trusted advisor. Why did he send to Achitofel? So again, also, it's not clear why Achitofel defected. Why did he defect? He was with David. So that's very unclear. Achitofel happened to be the grandfather of Batsheva. Right? Batsheva's father's father was Achitofel. We know that from other psukim. So that could be why he defected. Maybe he was still upset about what David did to his daughter, to his granddaughter. But on the other hand, there was this nevuah that everybody knew that his great-grandson was going to be the king. Shlomo, who's from Batsheva, not Avshalom. So it's not 100% clear. That's what Chazal say, that maybe it was out of Gaiva. He wanted to be the king. The Michlam Elio says that just like we know Korach, part of the reason why Korach fell was that he had a nevuah that one of his descendants was going to be amazing. Somebody in his family. And he said, it must be me. Really, it was Shmuel Anavi, which was one of his descendants. But he misread the nevuah, and therefore he sinned and failed. So to hear Achitofel, he saw that somebody was going to be amazing. Shlomo was going to be amazing. Not him, but he took it upon himself that he was going to be, and he thought nothing could happen to him. And he went over, he thought the tides were turning to Avshalom, and as we will see, his end did not turn out too well either. So Achitofel goes over to Avshalom, Vayi Akesher Amitz, the connection between them was very tight. V'ha'am holech v'rav es Avshalom. And the people started following him. V'yavom ha'akad al Davar le'mar. And the Magi comes to David and says, Lev ish Yisrael achrei Avshalom. The nation is following Avshalom. What does David do? I can't believe it. Let's go fight. No. What's David's reaction? He basically accepts the din, recognizing this is what Nassan said. Recognize this is what Nassan said? And that's even what the Gemara darshins. Beautiful Gemara. We know David HaMelech, as he's running away, is when he wrote Tehillim Paragimel. How does Tehillim Paragimel start off? Mizmar lo David bivarcho mipnei Avshalom beno. This is a mizmar of David when he ran away from Avshalom. Hashem harabu tzarai, rabim kamim alai. Hashem, I have tzaris. Rabim amalan afshi, v'chulu v'chulu. He continues. The Gemara in Bracha says, mizmar lo David. Mizmar like a song, a joyous song. It should be kina lo David. A dirge, right? A kina, like we do on Tisha B'Av. What do you mean mizmar? So the Gemara says that David was nervous. Who is going to rebel? Is it going to be an Evan? Is it going to be a real lowlife? It's my son. Okay. At least it's my son that's rebelling against me. It's nobody else. That's why even in the tzara, David sees greatness and he says, Mizmar l'David. But that's how David reacts here. He says, okay, he accepts the din. This is what Hashem wants. And he doesn't want bloodshed in Yerushalayim. And therefore, he leaves, at least in the, where he is, in Ir David. Vayomer David al avad v'chol avad v'sher ito, kuma v'nivracha. Let's go. Let's leave. Ki lo tia lanu pleita m'bnei Avshalom. Maharu aleches, quickly. Pen yamar v'siganu. Maybe he's going to catch us. V'idiach aleinu asara v'hika ha'ir l'fi cheref. That's what he's worried about. He's worried about bloodshed in the city. Not so worried about his own position. And the avadim of Amelech say, kol asher yivchar adoni Amelech, hinei avadecha will follow you wherever you go. So they all went, except for the 10 Pilakshim, that we'll have to get back to. He leaves them there for safety. The king goes with all his men, including the Krasi and the Plasi, which we say might mean the Aron, V'chol HaGitim, and the Gitim. The Radak quotes two deis. Were these Gitim non-Jews or Jews that happened to live in Gat? Gat was where David was when he was hiding out from Shaul. Were these friends of David who were non-Jews? Or Jews, unclear. The Radak has both opinions about it. 600 of them. One of the heads of them was Itai Hagiti. Vayomer Melech al Itai Hagiti. Itai says, he says to Itai, Pasuk Yotes, Lama Teilek Amataitanu, why are you here? You don't have to be with me. You don't have to be a fugitive. I'm here. Shuv v'shevim Amelech. Go back to the king. The king. He's the king. Rashi, Radak all say, David already has no problems calling somebody else the king. He has no problems. He's already calling Avshalom the king. Such anava, such recognition and acceptance. Right? He did something with Bathsheba, yes, but ever since then, he has accepted everything. Because he knows this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. He says, go back to the king. Ki nachri ata. You are a nachri. So does that mean that he's a guy? Or does that mean that he's just not related to David's family? V'gam gol atalim komecha. What do you have to go to Golus for? Just go back and be with him. There is a discussion that Chassam Sofer has in a tshuva in Eben Ezer, Kufnun Aleph, that it could be that during those 6 months, these months that David was not in Yerushalayim, did he have the status of the king? If you remember, we had a discussion, why was it that the Navi says that he was king for 40 years? If there was really 7.5 years in Hebron and 33 years in Yerushalayim, it should be 40.5 years. Where's the other 6 months? So some suggested, well, it's these 6 months when Avshalom was there. It could be Avshalom was Nechshav the king, and that's what he really means. He's the king. Chassam Sofer has that discussion. There are special karbanas that a king brings. Who would have brought those karbanas during this time period? Okay. So says David HaMelech to Itai Hagiti, go back, you don't have to go with me. Right? You already did such greatness for me. Vayan Itai es HaMelech vayomar. And Itai says, okay, but I am swear that I am always with you. Chai Hashem v'chai Adoni HaMelech. Wherever you are, I'm there with you. I'm there, I'm ready to help you, whatever you would like. And David says, go, and you could also be my agent. David is sending a couple of people to infiltrate when Avshalom comes. There is a major radak. Here on Pasuk Chaf Aleph, it is a Tanakh radak. There's something like this, Shas opinions. This is a major one. The Radak here says, if you look in Pasuk Chaf Aleph, there is a word that is ksiv velo kri. There's a word that's written in the text, but it's not read. You don't read it, you skip it. Sometimes we have kri and ksivs in the Torah, where you have something that's written one way and you pronounce it a different way. Or you have lo and lo, you have na'ara, spelled without the hey. Even you have a couple of words that it says yish galena and you read yish kavena. Here you have a word that's written im, and it's not read. Ksiv v'lo kri. Says the Radak, where did all these issues come from? Kri, ksiv, v'chulu. So the Radak has an extreme radical shita. He says, you know what? It's because we forgot. Because we went into Galus, and the Asher Gadol HaGadol didn't come into Galus, and the different Svarim were mitultal, and were missing things. And when the rabbis got together, they saw different texts. Some of them had an imminent, some of them didn't have an imminent in this case. So they put it in brackets, write it, but you don't have to read it. Right? That is the the basis of Kri and Ksiv are, according to the Radak, which seems to be against the Gemara. This suggestion of the Radak. The Gemara in Nedarim, Lamed Zion. The Gemara says Kri and Ksiv are Halacha Moshe B'Sinai. Right, going back to Moshe Rabbeinu. So, what is the Radak talking about? It's Sarachian. There's no answer that we're going to give right now. But if you look on Lamed Zayin of Abayis, the Gemara says, based on a pasuk in Nehemiah, that we learn out Kri and Ksivs. Kri and Ksiv, that's all going back to Moshe Rabbeinu. Right, that's what the Gemara says, Beferish. So, how does the Radak say this? Sarachian. Difficult why he says that it's all based on Shechacha. Okay, either way, so David says to Gita, go, I thank you for your help. Then Pasuk Avdalat Sado comes, also, Vayitzok as Aron Elokim, they put the Aron in a specific place, and Avyatar came. Tzadok and Avyatar were two of the Kohanim. The Gemara in Yuma tells us, Rashi quotes it also, that at that moment, there was a switch of the Kahuna Gedola. Avyatar was the Kohen Gadol till now, but they asked a question of the Ur Metumim, and Avyatar did not, and Tzadok did not get an answer. Avyatar did not get an answer. And at that time, David HaMelech realizes that Avyatar, who was a descendant of Eli, remember back from the beginning of Shmuel Aleph, Eli's family was cursed that they wouldn't end up continuing the line. So this is a fulfillment. David realized, because Avyatar didn't get the answer, he passed it over to Tzadok. Tzadok, who was not from Eli, he was from a different line, he was the one that now becomes the Kohen Gadol. So, Vayomer HaMelech L'Tzadok, Hashavis Aron Elokim O'ir, go, he says to Tzadok now, you're in charge. Right, and Chazal pick up on that now it was just switched. Bring the Aron back. Imem Sachem B'nei Hashem, the Ashivani, if I find favor in the eyes of Hashem, I will also one day come back to Yerushalayim, the Harani Oso V'Sneveo, and I'll be able to see my palace. And if not, Hineni Yaseh L'Kasher Tov B'Einav, he'll do whatever he thinks is correct. That's Tziduk HaDin, David again accepting the din. The king says to Tzadok, Haroata, Shuva Yer B'Shalom. You agree with me, go back. And he does. Tzadok and Avyatar now take the Aron after Yerushalayim. Where does David go? Pasuk Lamed, V'David Oleh B'Maleh HaZeitim. Where is that? HaRazesim. Right, we think, it's interesting, we think David is all the way outside of Yerushalayim. He left Yer David, he went up on the HaRazesim. He just left where he was. But he's pretty close by. Oleh Bocheh. He's going, he's crying for what's happening, right? But he's on Mala Azesim. Why did he go to Har Azesim? Barbanel says that's where he wrote Kapitel Gimel, Para Gimel of Thalem, on Har Azesim, overlooking. Overlooking what? Har Azesim overlooks Makom HaMikdash. But there was no Beis HaMikdash yet. Right? So what was it? So the Radak says maybe David knew it was going to be around there. Right? The Gemara talks about how he didn't know for sure where it was going to be built, but he knew in this area. So that's why Har Azesim has a lookout onto the whole area. That's where he went. Or maybe that was the place where you could see where the Mishkan was. The Ohel, which housed the Aron. But either way, he had this connection, yearning to be back. And he goes there, and he's crying, he's going barefoot, and he wrote Kapitel Gimel. He also wrote, according to some, Perek Nunhei, which is about confounding the advice of others. That's exactly what happened here. David is told that Achitofel has switched over, and David says, Sakelna, it's Azaz Achitofel Hashem, please make foolish and destroy the advice. So what happens then, right before the parak ends, David goes and he meets another friend. He already had Itai Hagiti, now he meets Hushai Ha'arki, who is also Karua Kutanto, his clothing is ripped, he has Adam Arosho, he's a close friend of David. And David says, you too, go back and be a double agent for me. The Gemara, though, adds in an unbelievable conversation that took place. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin Kuv Zayin, at that, and the Mefarshim quoted that David at this point was about to go do Avodah Zarah. And Hushai Ha'arki convinced him not to. Why was he going to do Avodah Zarah? The Gemara says it. Sanhedrin Kuv Zayin. Gemara says, Amar Yehuda Marav, Bikish David La'avod Avodah Zarah. Sheneemar, Vayistachu, Arpasik, Vayhi David Ba Ad HaRosh, Asher Yishtachu V'Sham Le'elokim. Rosh is Avodah Zarah. And Hushai goes to him and says, no! Yomru Melech Shekamos Chayavod Avodah Zarah, what a terrible Chil Hashem is going to be caused. If you do Avodah Zarah, Amar Lo. So David says back, what do you mean? But Melech Shekamosi, my son's going to kill me. It's better that I do Avodah Zarah. What's the conversation? And then Chushai says, but don't worry, you were with a Yifas Toar, and Avshalom is a son of Yifas Toar. What's the conversation going on here? So the Mefarshim explained, the Yad Ramah, one of the Rishonim, this Gemara says, David wanted to do Avodah Zarah just in case Avshalom kills him. What a terrible Chil Hashem that would be, if Avshalom kills him. David says, I'm not going to really do Avodah Zarah, I'm going to fake it. I'm going to make it look like I'm doing Avodah Zarah, so when I'm killed, people won't say that, oh my God, look what happened. So David says, I'll fake it so when I'm killed, it won't be such a Chil Hashem. That's what he was going to do. And Chushai says, no, it's already, it'll be more of a Chil Hashem. Just doing that. And you know what? Don't worry about it, because Avshalom is a son of Yifas Toar. And everybody knows the Chazals, that only bad things come out of children that come from Yifas Toar, as we discussed earlier. So that's the whole conversation taking place between David and Arki. Other Mefarshim, otherwise the Marsha says here, it doesn't mean Avodah Zarah. It means he's going to go to Chutz La'aretz. As the Gemara learns out at the end of Ksubis, whoever goes to Chutz La'aretz is Ki'ilu Oved Avodah Zarah. There are other suggestions given as well, what this Gemara means, but there's more to this conversation between David and Chushai than meets the eye. And at the end of the Perek, so Chushai and Sadok and Avyatar and Ittai are all back in Yerushalayim as Avshalom is planning to go there, and David HaMelech, though, is hiding out on Harazesim. Okay, we'll have to stop here.